Bricks, what else can you say about the New York Jets?
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. I can say nothing else. Here, listen, again, in case you didn't hear, but if you didn't hear, then you're not a sports fan. You're probably not listening to the podcast. Tim Tebow gets bashed, you know, by unnamed sources within the Jets locker room. There are two issues here. There's the fact of why are you bashing a guy that doesn't do anything.
Right.
You're losing games. He has no part of the game losing. He's not. He hardly gets on the field. He's played 33 plays all season.
At this point, by the way, hasn't done anything wrong. It's not like he's a bad teammate. He's just a dude who shows up and tries to help.
He's thrown six passes. He's completed five of them. I mean, the guy has the best completion percentage of any quarterback in the league right now.
And you do it unnamed.
Unnamed.
And by the way, everyone knows how I feel about the Jets. A lot of words I could throw around about the Jets. Coward was never going to be one of them. Now it is. And credit Rex Ryan, which I never do, but credit Rex Ryan for coming out in the media and calling it what it was. It was a coward move by whoever it was on the Jets coming out saying those things anonymously.
And here's my thing.
Put your name to it.
You're in the locker room. You got Manish is walking around working on his story. Okay, everybody's there. People see who he's talking to and who he's not talking to.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy if you're inside that locker room.
Tebow knows.
To deduce who said it. And if Tannenbaum has any gall, and if he wants to save his own job, he needs to make some sort of a splash because he is a dead man walking.
I don't think he can. He shouldn't be able to.
Down into that locker room and cut people. You need to cut people. Your season's pretty much over
anyway. It's done. No, it's done. It is. It's absolutely done. And now they're falling apart. I mean, we've always known they've teetered on the edge of psychosis. They're falling off the damn ledge now. They're gone. It's a broken team. It's been broken management and a broken thought process behind it for a long time. This team is broken and it's disgusting. And it's just what else can you say other than they're a train wreck? Let's move on. Really?
The annoying part about the Jets is it's such a played storyline, but they keep recycling it and forcing us to address it.
And by the way, they invited it. Everyone saw when they brought in Tebow and they combined Rex and Tannenbaum and this Tebow. Everyone saw this coming except the three people who make decisions in that organization.
And I think that's probably where this, because this is a jealousy situation. These are people that are sick and tired of the fact that they're going out and playing 80 snaps a game and giving up their bodies and trying to win games. And then after the game, everybody's talking about the guy who sat on the bench most of the time.
Yeah, you don't want us to talk about him? Be better. How's that?
I understand that can be annoying and that's not going to go away, but you have to understand that. And it's not like Tebow is inviting that.
Right.
You know, the guy to a certain extent, he plays into it. You know he kind of likes it on some level, but it's he
but
goes no, out
but
there.
But that's not his problem. Yeah. He's free to like it, and he's free to show up and do his job. That's all he's done. And if the Jets set up interviews for him, he takes the interviews because that's what you do.
Right, exactly.
This is not his fault. This is people yelling and screaming about him when they have no reason to. You don't want us to talk about him? Play better. Make us forget that he's on the team.
Exactly. Listen. A lot of people like me more than they like you, naturally.
Absolutely.
I have a charisma, you don't. But you're a hardworking guy, and you know that I don't go out of my way to seek that attention. It comes to me, and that's why we have a good working relationship.
Absolutely.
You understand it's a natural thing. With Tim Tebow, it's not his fault that all these people are asking questions about him. He's just going about doing his business, so it's stupid. And on another level, when you're 3-6, and you're going out there and you're one of the starters and you're one of the people that can't get it done, don't complain about the guy who hasn't had a chance because you're one of the reasons he should get a chance.
Right.
Because you're responsible for those L's. He had nothing to do with them. But again,
this is part of the culture that they've made and reveled in and welcomed. It's part of what they've built. This no matter what's going on around us, we're going to puff out our chests and be the guy. And right. We're going to pretend like we're the guy. You're not the guy. Cromartie, you're not the guy. You're some loudmouth punk, quite frankly.
The most disturbing part about this whole thing, and I don't know if it's disturbing or if it's comical, is the fact that this happened before they had Tebow. It happened last season. The same thing, unnamed sources within the locker room. And you did nothing about it. You obviously did not get rid of the right guys if you got rid of anyone at all.
Yeah.
You kept Santonio Holmes. He, I don't think, is even involved in this. It's no, a cancerous
but
locker
but
room.
But you've built it around, you know, people say, well, you don't want to bring that guy in. He's a cancer. the Jets have built their locker rooms around locker room cancers.
Right.
That's what they are. And by the way, I saw an interesting stat this week. And let's not, I think Sanchez is a better quarterback than Tebow, but I saw this interesting stat. In his last 16 starts, Mark Sanchez, 25 touchdowns, 25 turnovers, 6 yards per attempt. Tebow. Oh, and the Jets are 6-10 in that span time or time span. Tebow, 16 career starts, 26 touchdowns, 15 turnovers, 7.1 yards per attempt, and they're 9-7.
And listen, and you don't put Tebow in as your starting quarterback realistically because
just an interesting stat when guys are yelling about how he's terrible.
But the one thing that you do have right now for the Jets, and it's not a solution going forward, but you have no legitimate receivers with Antonio Holmes going out.
True. One of the Jets anonymously said that he's had better receivers in college.
Yeah.
The receiving court, which is true.
So,
by the way,
the biggest concern you have when you talk about Tebow is you talk about, well, you're not going to be able to get any receivers that are going to want to play with him. Your free agency issues are going to be like that. You're going to have to build a whole team around this style of offense. And then if it doesn't work, you're going to be set back for a season or two. Right now, they inadvertently, through their ineptitude, have created an offense that would be best served with
best
Tim Tebow
served,
there.
You want to go ground and pound? Put Tebow in the damn
exactly.
game and let him ground and pound.
Exactly. They have no elite guys on the outside. Their team is designed to just run the ball all over the field as much as they possibly can and almost make big passing plays out of tomfoolery.
Right.
Trick people with the fact that you're so mundane and boring.
Wait until they put 12 guys in the box. 12. Bringing guys in from the sideline and then throw the ball.
So the Jets have a roster right now, and again, you know, it's accidental and it shouldn't be the model going forward, but they really do. They have a team that doesn't benefit Mark Sanchez.
Now look, I mean, that said, I think you're looking at a team. I fully believe the GM's gone. I actually think Rex stays, though I would get rid of him, not surprisingly. I think Sanchez is gone because you can't have him in New York anymore. It's just too much. And I think Tebow's gone. And really, I think if you're the Jets, I think you really have to start thinking about playing McElroy. You spent a draft pick on him. You've got him here. Before the 2013 draft, when you're probably looking quarterback pretty early, see what you got in McElroy.
The season's done. I think, to be honest, I think this is a good decision. I think in 2013, you're going to see Michael Vick in a Jet uniform. I think he's going to be a big... Listen, there aren't...
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's just the circus just keeps on coming, baby. The carousel just keeps on spinning.
Woody Johnson does like headline guy. I don't know if Dog Killer is the headline he's going for, but he does like headlines. Vic will deliver headlines. He's going to be available. He's not going back to Philly. And when you look at this draft, I don't believe in Matt Barkley, nor do I believe Woody Johnson is going to dump an SC pick and then pick an SC quarterback right behind him. Geno Smith has come back down to earth. You can't trust what he does in a mm-hmm. real person offense with that West Virginia gimmick that he's operating.
You can't draft Johnny Football for a couple more years.
No, Johnny Football is not available, nor I don't know if he's even a viable NFL prospect. So if they don't exist in the draft and you don't like what you have now, you got to look at the best available option, and that is Michael Vick staring back at you.
Yep. That'd be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
The carousel just keeps on spinning. We'll see how they do in St. Louis this week. Let's get to the other team who have their own issues, though. Admittedly, are they're just better. The New York Giants.
I don't know if they're much better right now.
I mean, look, they have their issues, but I mean, they're a better team. But they do look. That loss to Cincinnati was brutal. It was disgusting. People say they're he was disgusting like 9 times so far. People say they were in need of their bye week. I don't know if bye weeks cure suck, but let's hope. And that was a brutal loss, and now they've got this 0-2 in November cloud, November swoon, ghost haunting hanging over them again. It's not a great situation if you're the Giants.
That Bengal loss felt terrible. I spent the second half of that fourth quarter watching Patrick Ewing do work on Bill Cartwright on MSG Classics with the Knicks Bulls. I started watching a game that I knew the outcome because I knew the outcome of this Giants game too. It would be miserable, pathetic defeat. I changed the channel after Victor Cruz dropped that perfect pass. The only good pass Eli Manning's thrown in 3 weeks.
And you know, Brown, or not Brown, I'm sorry, Bradshaw. Bradshaw's fumble was huge in that game. You thought if the Giants could come out, get a touchdown, get some momentum going, maybe we'd see the Eli Manning of old surface. Fumble.
Well, we saw the Eli Manning of old.
Of old.
It was really old. It was 2004 Eli Manning. And that's actually, I think, the biggest concern, because what you like about this Giants team, what's been kind of the, what they've hung their hats, you know, even when they lose games, you say, well, this team knows how to get it done. This team doesn't panic. When Eli Manning is throwing little dump passes while getting sacked in the third quarter of a manageable game that are getting picked, when he's forcing balls to the left with triple coverage that are getting picked, that's a guy pressing. That's a guy panicking early, fearing a loss.
See, I don't know if it's Eli panicking as much as the things that Eli of last year and Eli of early this year would have gotten away with.
He's not getting away with it.
I mean, he's made those throws before. He was just getting away with it. In that game, he didn't get away with them, and the Giants lost. And that was a as you said, miserable and pathetic loss across the board. I didn't think the linebackers had a bad game, but everybody else did. Corey Webster and Stevie Brown. Like, I'm sorry, but it's week 10. I understand Stevie's young, and Webster, in my opinion, not that good. You can't be having that sort of mental confusion that allows not one, but two free runners behind you for a long touchdown. That first touchdown, Andy Dalton could have picked between, Gresham or Green. He could have had he had a pick of two guys running by themselves.
It was terrible. Corey Webster has regressed miserably. Corey Webster looks awful. Prince Amukamara he seems very good.
He's
competent in man coverage. I think that part of the problem is he's not very good when you start talking schematically.
Yeah, Stevie Brown, I think is reading a lot of what the quarterback does and not what he should. You know, he's not seeing guys run past him because he's looking at the QB. And
that's very true.
That's a young guy. I understand he'll get better, but he's got to see that now.
Getting Kenny Phillips back hopefully after the bye week would be big for the Giants. When I watched that Bengals game, there are really only two guys who played well. Akeem Nicks had a great game, which is very encouraging. You know, when you talked about this bye week, one of the things you really wanted was rest for Akeem Nicks so he could get healthy. Yep. And Chase Blackburn
continues to just be the man.
Chase Blackburn is the only truly consistent player on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
We looked lost when we didn't have him 2 weeks ago. He's making plays. You can't get the guy off the field. He's playing special. He's your starting middle linebacker.
Yeah, he caused the fumble,
and he's causing turnovers on special teams.
Could have been big, but it turned out not to be. Blackburn's had a great season. Makes me wonder how in the hell he went 3 months without being signed.
He was
last
a substitute
year.
Teacher.
Yeah, how he was teaching high school somewhere instead of playing football. He's been a rock. And look, it's the bye week. The Giants have gotten away. Eli Manning, I think, went out of town, took a vacation, said he's not watching film, he's just getting away from the game for a couple of days. I think that's what they need, a bye week in week 11. You've had a tough season already. Just get out of town. Get out of Dodge, take a week, and they'll come back, and they got the Packers on the other side of the bye, which is the first of six games left that are rough.
That are all very difficult. Just going back to one thing before we move off the Giants, how cool would it be if you were in, like, 10th grade and your history teacher up and left to start for the New York Giants? Monday is your history teacher. Sunday, he's
picking
for
off
the
Aaron Rodgers in that first game he came back. He picked off Aaron Rodgers in that game.
It'd just be unbelievable. I had a guy in sixth grade. He was a substitute teacher, substitute gym teacher, shockingly. And he had to leave to go. He was an extra for the Knicks. He never actually suited up for the Knicks, but they were in the playoffs against, I think, the Magic at the time. Mm-hmm. And so he went, just in case somebody got injured, he had to travel to Orlando.
That was awesome.
And I thought that was really cool.
In my high school, we had, remember the old AFL and the Albany Firebirds of the Arena Football?
Touchdown Eddie Brown.
Touchdown Eddie Brown was a hall monitor at my high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Tough fall for Touchdown Eddie.
Yeah. It was. He coached, I think, the freshman basketball team. It was Touchdown Eddie Brown, man. I miss the AFL. We'll come back. We'll get into a little bit of the NBA and just a random hodgepodge of other stories. It's Cover 2.